Praise the name of the Lord. You know, today is a day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't know when Jesus' birthday really was, but it's just a day that we tend to do that. And I'm going to tell you a little story about childbirth first here. A woman, she goes to her doctor who verifies that she's with child. And this is her first pregnancy, and the doctor asks her if she has any questions. And she replies, "Well, I'm a little worried about the pain." The doctor answered, "Well, how much will childbirth hurt?" she said. And the doctor answered and said, "Well, that varies from woman to woman and pregnancy to pregnancy. And besides, it's difficult to describe pain." "I know, but can't you give me some idea?" she asked. He says, "Well, grab your upper lip and pull it out a little. Like this, a little more, like this, no, a little more, like this. Yes, does that hurt? A little bit. Now stretch it over your head." That's what Mary went through. She didn't have spinal blocks or any of that stuff, but she had Jesus. So praise the Lord. But I appreciate ladies. I've watched them go through a few with Margaret and with some daughters and things and daughter-in-laws. And women are tougher than we think they are, guys. I think they're tougher than us guys. They just have that soft side too. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, I'm knocking everything off. I'm going to read you a couple things here, and I thought this was very appropriate. And it goes like this. It says, "It's anything but idyllic, silent night on a cool Bethlehem evening when a scared teenager gave birth to the King of Glory. Mary endured the pain of her baby. Of her baby's arrival without the aid of anything more than a carpenter's rough hands of Joseph, her betrothed. Shepherds may have been serenaded in a nearby field by angels singing praises to the baby, but all Mary and Joseph had were some sounds of animals, birth agony, and the first cry of God in baby form. A high-magnitude star shone in the night sky above the outbuilding, but the manger scene was a dreary place for those out-of-town visitors. Joseph laid the infant in Mary's arms. A combination of wonder, pain, fear, and joy must have coursed through her heart. She knew because of the angel's promise that this tiny, tiny bundle was the son of the highest. And as she peered through the semi-darkness into his eyes, then into Joseph's, she must have wondered how she was going to mother this one whose kingdom was never to come to an end. Mary had much to ponder in her heart on that special night. Now, over 2,000 years later, each of us needs to consider the importance of Jesus' birth and his subsequent death, resurrection, and promise to return." Praise God. You know, I thought that was a pretty good description of probably what went on back there. A lot of times we see the cute little manger and all that, and not realizing that it was a nasty old dirty barn. And then, you know, I used to go up to my uncle's in the summertime and spend part of the summer up there, and I'd help feed the horses and sometimes help shovel out the barn. And it was a pretty stinky place. It wasn't a very nice place to be in. And, you know, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph dealt with a pretty nasty situation there. But you know what? Jesus didn't choose to be born in some royal hotel with silk sheets. He chose to be born in a manger in the lowest of places that you could have been born at that time. And that just goes to show us that no matter how low we are in our lives, that he can be born again inside of us in any place that we are, because he doesn't turn his nose up and he doesn't look at us in a funny way. Now I'm going to read you something else. I don't know if any of you ever read anything from Sarah Young or not, but if you have a chance to pick up her devotional books, they're great, and they're really prophetic if you listen to them. They're prophetic. They're not just good, but they're prophetic. I'm going to read you the one here for December the 25th, and I'm going to read you the one for December the 26th. It says, as you wait attentively in my presence, the light of the knowledge of my glory shines upon you. This radiant knowledge transcends all understanding. It transforms every fiber of your being, rewiring your mind, cleansing your heart, and invigorating your body. Open yourselves fully to my presence. Be awed by my glorious being. Try to imagine what I gave up when I came into the world as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me, even though angels lit up the skies proclaiming glory to awestruck shepherds. When you sit quietly with me, the process I went through is reversed in your experience. As you identify with me, heaven's vistas open up before you, granting you glimpses of my glory. I became poor so that you might become rich. Sing hallelujah to my holy name. And you know, years ago, the Lord gave me a poem, and when I was reading this, I thought, well, geez, that fits right along with the poem you gave me years ago. He gave me this poem in 1974. On the 24th of December, and it goes like this: rich was he, yet poor he became. For he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare. For he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. And you know, that's the truth. And you know, in thinking about all this stuff with Jesus, you know, so many times we have a tendency, like I say, that we look at things real idyllic and, you know, we have a tendency that we kind of kind of have the cute little critters that, you know, around the manger scene and all that. It was a nasty place where he was born. It was very filthy, very nasty. You know, and here's some of the scriptures I felt like the Lord gave me to share with you today. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In 2 Corinthians 4:6-7, and this is out of the Living Translation, for God who said, let the light shine in darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. I like that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then 1 John 3:1-3, and this is out of the Phillips New Testament translation. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us all, allowing us to be called children of God. And that's not just what we are called, but it's what we are. Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no longer recognize us than it recognized Christ. O dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized that here and now we are God's children? We don't know what we will come in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect his likeness and we should see him as he is. Everyone who has this heart of hope like this keeps himself pure, for he knows how pure Christ is. One more scripture here. Oh, I've got actually two more here. Ephesians 2:4-10. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One more scripture here. For we know, and this is 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. And that's where I originally got that scripture for that poem that was written. Praise the Lord. Jim, did you have something? I think you had something there, didn't you? You sure? I think you had something. No, I thought you had your paper out. I thought you had maybe something you wanted to share. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, folks, this thing about Christmas, so many times, you know, it's been turned into such a commercialized thing and it's really been perverted. I mean, you know, really when we realize that there was only one gift given at Christmas, and that was Jesus Christ. That was the Father sending, coming in the form of his a little baby and growing up to be the Savior of the world. And, you know, he had to identify with man so that we could identify with God. And until we could see God in the form of a man, we could never believe, really come to the true belief that Christ in us could be the hope of glory. And you know, it's really a wonderful thing when you think about what took place. And then you look at Christmas the way it's been turned into. It's been turned into a commercialized thing that has a tendency to make people feel bad and feel bad about themselves at times, feel bad that they can't do more for their children and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, to me, Christmas is a sad time of year because so many little kids are expecting something and they go to school and they go among their friends and they've got nothing, you know. And then all of their other little kids come in, oh, here's what I got for Christmas and all this, you know. And it's really, it's really kind of a sad time in that sense. But it's a shame that it's gotten perverted like that because, you know, when the angels came and they appeared to the shepherds, they said, I bring you great tidings of great joy. Yes. And they said, unto you is born in the city of David the Son of God. Yes. And then they also said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And, you know, that's the true gift of Christmas. God is not mad at nobody. He's not mad at people out there. And so many people think that he's mad at them. They think that they're such sinners that they can't approach God. And that's not true. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should have life and have it more abundantly. And you know, religion has not helped a lot, because it keeps telling people that they're sinners. They're sinners. It doesn't tell them that much that Christ paid the debt for all of their sins. They've been forgiven. And man, that should be the whole gist. Every time you turn on the radio or the TV or any kind of religious thing, they should be shouting that from the rooftops. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. You know, he took your sins on Calvary, you know. And I tell you what, until the church in general out there begins to tell that to people, things are not really going to change, because people are going to walk in condemnation. They're going to walk in guilt, and they're going to walk in all these different things instead of walking in the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And we need to make sure that we do our part as we go forth, even into a new year, and begin to tell people what he did, that it's already been accomplished. They're already forgiven. He's paid the sacrifice for their sins, you know, and he's dealt with the sin principle. And when he looks at them, he doesn't look at them as ugly old sinners, you know. He looks at them as forgiven, because Christ forgave them, you know. And I know a lot of church folks would get mad at me for saying that, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't care if they get mad at me, because it's the truth. And it's time that the church starts telling the truth out there instead of telling a lie and heaping condemnation. You know, in Romans the 8th chapter, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, I got news for you. As far as I'm concerned, they're all in Christ Jesus. They just don't know it. And we got to start telling them. We got to make sure that they come to understand that. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you this morning. We're going to have a communion service over here. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of scripture for that. And, you know, I want you all to go out and just later on today, just enjoy your family. Realize how much God has blessed you, and how you walk in a position where you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel ashamed or anything, because you know what Christ did for you. You know you're forgiven. But there's so many people out there that don't know it. And ask the Lord in this upcoming year, Lord, is there some open up opportunities for me to tell people that they are forgiven, that you're not mad at them, you know. Praise the Lord. In Luke 22:15-20, you guys can start passing that stuff out if you want to. It says, and he said unto them, with this I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And he said, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And you know, when we take the elements here and we do the communion service here, I want you to realize that when you do this, you're doing it in type and shadow. But I want you to know that God can move miraculously even in type and shadow. And if any of you are sick or any of you got any problems, the Lord can move through these things as your faith stirs, and he can begin to heal you, or he can begin to restore you, or whatever you need. But okay, if you all stand, we'll go ahead and we'll take these elements. Okay. Oh, you missed some folks over there. You missed some. You missed Corby and Steve. Take care of Margaret and Curtis up there too. Okay, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to take these elements, and we're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said, do this in remembrance of me. And when you, the word remember means, it's like as if part of your hand was cut off, and you remembered it and put it back where it belongs. And Father, when we take this and type and shadow, you said one time, Jesus, that except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And Father, we desire that your life just emanate from your people, that everywhere we go, that your presence be felt, and that people just realize that they would begin to say, for God is in you of a truth. And Father, as we take these elements, we just give you all praise, we give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Cynthia, did you have anything you wanted to play? A song we could close with? How about let's do the blood, the song The Blood of Jesus. We'll sing that song, and we'll close with that. And you all go and have a wonderful day, and just love each other, love your family, and just realize what Christmas is really all about.
The blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, it is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Yes, it does. It is the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. Go and have a wonderful day. And you know that blood never loses its power. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.